I'm going to talk today about Bridget, and I want to introduce this topic through a poem, which is a prayer. It's addressed to God in her, to Bridget in her goddess form. I'm going to use that as our entry into our exploration of the sacred today. In case you are not steeped in Celtic lore like me, it might help if I explain that the word Imbolc, the pagan cross-quarter day halfway between the winter solstice and the equinox, the word Imbolc, it comes from the ewes releasing their milk, and that's one of the things you need to know about Imbolc. And the second one is that St. Bridget, or the goddess Bridget in this case in the poem, is associated with keening, which is a musical crying in Ireland and also in Scotland. At funerals, we used to hire women who would come and sing, and they would sing in a kind of way of crying to help the congregation express their grief. Okay, so this is a prayer poem that was written last year. Right? And I really want us to take stock of Imbolc in this time. So this was written a year ago tomorrow. And I found it on a website called, by a woman called Hecate Demeter. It's a WordPress site. She describes herself as a woman, a witch, a mother, a grandmother, an eco-feminist, a lawyer, a gardener, a reader, a writer, and a priestess of the great Mother Earth. And this is called This is a Prayer for Imbolc, This is a Prayer for Resistance. And the first words are right there, so let me just jump in. This is a prayer for Imbolc. This is a prayer for when roads flood. This is a prayer for the lingering dark. This is a prayer for resistance. We spark the fires to beg the light to return, but we never really know if it will work. The road may flood. This could be the year that it all falls apart. The February rains may be too much. We fire up the forge to bend hard metal to our will, but we never really know if it will work. The road may flood. This could be the year that it all falls apart. The February rains may be too much. We write the poem to express what's inside, but we never really know if it will work. The road may flood. This could be the year that it all falls apart. The February rains may be too much. Imbolc is a chance we take in the dark. And this is the prayer for when things fall apart. This is the prayer for when roads flood. This is the prayer for Imbolc. This is the prayer for the lingering dark, and this is the prayer for resistance. Bridget, the goddess of poetry, invented keening for those times when no words were enough. Shall we now keen? Bridget, the goddess of smithcraft, invented forges for those times when small flames were not enough. What shall we now forge? Bridget, the goddess of healing, invented beer for those times when water couldn't cure the deep thirst. What shall we now toast? Bridget stands in the February rain, a warm flame in her hand, watching the roads flood. She will neither look away from the flood nor extinguish the flame. Imbolc is the chance we take, a chance we take in the dark. This is the prayer for when things fall apart. This is the prayer for when roads flood. This is the prayer for Imbolc. This is the prayer for the lingering dark. And this is the prayer for resistance. The shepherd goes out to spite the rain. The shepherd is the resistance. Without the shepherd, the ewe will miscarry, die in the mud, bleed to death. Deliver the lambkin still. The shepherd sees the rain, throws on her cloak, and cuts through the meadow. But she never really knows if it will work. The road may flood. This could be the year that it all falls apart. The February rains may be too much. But she wades towards the ewe. Bridget sees and holds her flame. In bulk is a chance we take, a chance we take in the dark. This is the prayer for when things fall apart. This is the prayer for when roads flood. This is the prayer for in bulk. This is the prayer for the lingering dark. And this is the prayer for resistance. It's in bulk. It's pouring rain in the lingering dark. The roads have washed away. The ewes are miscarrying. The forge fire's going out. The poets are throwing down their pens. The yeast has failed the hops. Who are you in these times? What is in bulk to you and you to her? Resistance thrives in the lingering dark, and flash floods bring forth new paths. Put on your cloak and wade through the mud. The goddess Bridget is holding her flame. The goddess watches and weighs. In bulk is a chance we take in the dark. This is the prayer for when things fall apart. This is the prayer for when roads flood. This is the prayer for in bulk. This is the prayer for the lingering dark. And this is the prayer of resistance. Amen. So what is in bulk? As I said, in bulk is one of the eight pagan holy days. It's the one that arrives halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere. It's the dawn of a new growing year. And sometimes it's the coldest hour of all, you know, like the hour before the dawn. It's associated with the baby lambs getting ready to be born. It's traditionally a time of new beginnings. It's the very early stages of change. Back home in Scotland, it's the snowdrops. And where you all are in the Pacific Northwest, or where many of you are, there's those plum trees, those native plum trees that have the two little berries. They begin, I remember from living there, that around the time of in bulk, they are coming into green shoots. It's the quickening of the year, and a quickening is a term from pregnancy where the mother feels the baby, the form of the baby's muscles moving inside her womb for the very first time. It's the time that the hibernation of winter might be coming to an end. And that's the whole situation with your groundhog. You know, that American, I didn't realize that the Groundhog's Day tradition actually grew out of an English tradition where they had a hedgehog. They did the same thing with a hedgehog, but you guys in the States didn't have hedgehogs, so you found a groundhog instead. That's what I'm told anyway. So in bulk, in its pagan face, is about the young maiden of spring. She's often called Bridget. She brings back the light. She carries the flame of the fire in her hand. And she is the promise of the new year coming into fruition, that the old maid of winter is losing her grip. The Christian tradition adopted and reworked in bulk into their story, just like happened with Halloween and Yule. The people in Europe needed to make sense of this Middle Eastern Jesus God story. And it morphed in the Christian tradition into Candlemas. Candlemas is on the 2nd of February, and in bulk is either on the 1st or the 2nd. You know, it's a celestial thing, so it's hard to pinpoint it on a calendar that doesn't follow the moon. Candlemas is the 2nd of February, and St. Bridget's Day is the 1st. So maybe you don't know what Candlemas is about. So Candlemas in the Christian story, in the Jewish tradition, there were rules to do with when a baby was born and a certain number of days after the circumcision of a male baby, or if it was a female baby, it was twice as long. There was no circumcision involved. But there was rules to do with the purification of the mother. And this was 40 days after the baby was born, and the baby Jesus is brought to the temple for the first time. And the old man and the old woman, the old priest, and the old priestess Anna and Simeon see the baby Jesus and recognize him as the light to lighten the Gentiles, the Messiah, the promise of the light in the world. And there's a very famous passage called the Nunc Dimittis that Simeon is supposed to have said. I'll read it for you now. Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which hath prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and to the glory of thy people Israel. And still, in many of the Christian traditions, like Orthodox and Catholic, and many of the congregations, still bring candles in to be blessed on Candlemas, to the light of the world, to that to be transferred into candles that they can then bring into their home and into their prayers. So we need to add Bridget in. So who is Bridget or Saint Bridget, and what's she got to do with this time of year? Well, Bridget began her life as a pagan goddess and ended up as a Christian saint. And in Scotland and in Ireland, nobody bats an eyelid about the fact that this is quite strange. It is our lass in the Christian story. And we call her the Mary of the Gales. She's really important. In one of the mystical videos I was watching, I can't remember the name of this presenter, but he hypothesized that the Irish would never have accepted the story of one deity that was a male god in the Middle East if it hadn't been for Bridget. That Patrick would not have been successful if Bridget had not been part of that. She is Bridget, who is Saint Bridget, is the patron saint of poetry, healing, smithcraft, cattle, beer, infants, fugitives, and mariners to name, but a few also nuns and midwives. For me, Bridget is a great example of how myth and legend can live in the zeitgeist and in the soil of our land and birth themselves into actual people. That we are influenced by the creation stories and the myths and our saints. Those stories of our ancestors are very important. Stories of our religious traditions are very important. They somehow come to birth in us. The goddess aspect of Bridget is also very much about fire and fertility. And there was a temple in Kildare, which means Hill of the Oak, I think it means. There was a pagan group of women who had a sacred flame that they kept burning. And eventually that's where Bridget took and built her monastery. And then she founded a monastic community for men. She partnered with a male spiritual leader, a bit like Francis and Claire. I'm jumping ahead. His name was Conlith. And he was, I think he was a hermit, but he came and joined the monastic community that Bridget founded. But going back a little bit earlier, I'm less interested in the fact that she founded a religious tradition. I'm more interested in who this girl that embodied the goddess was. So Bridget was supposedly born in the year 451 and died in 525 on the 1st of February. She was born at sunrise, according to legend, while her mother was straddled between a threshold, a doorway. She's very much a between and betwixt person. Her mother, Broca, was a Pictic slave. And her father, a chieftain, who obviously was sexual with his slave. And supposedly the story is that the chieftain's wife persuaded him to get rid of this pregnant slave. And the mother, Broca, was sent off to be in service to a mean druid. And Bridget was born in slavery. And when she was 12 years old, was brought back to her father, the chieftain's house, and caused a whole load of mischief for him. She was such a beautiful, open heart. She was always giving everything away, including his valuable possessions, and he just had enough of it. So eventually, he drags this young maiden to the king and says, "What do I do with her?" And while Bridget's father was having this meeting with the king, Bridget is talking to a beggar, and she gives her father's jeweled sword away to the beggar so that he can go sell it and buy some food. And and the king finds out about this, and he is very taken by this, and he asks the chieftain to free Bridget so that she can be a free woman. So very importantly, Saint Bridget started as a slave and then ended up as a free woman and as a nun. Now, no, people don't normally talk about the fact that she is a transition from slavery to freedom. One other last piece about the life of Bridget. Now, we talk about it as if it was fact. It was 1,500 years ago, handed down in story, based on this saint who used to be a goddess. But one thing is for sure, which was that she had these nuns, and they kept the flame of St. Bridget alive for a long time. And then I think in the 18th century, during our Reformation, that ended, that time ended. And in 2006, the President of Ireland, Mary Elise, lit the Bridget flame. These nuns came together to hold the flame again. So Bridget's flame is now tended 24 hours a day by nuns again. Okay, now I could talk all day, and time is limited. So let's cut to what did... I'm just reading Leanne's... comments about when did she transition to be a saint. Well, we don't know, but I think it was shortly after she died that she was recognized as a saint and that she was an embodiment of the goddess. So probably about 1,500 years ago is when she made that transition from goddess to saint. But for many people, she still holds both. For me, she does. What does she mean to me? She's a bridge between the God story, the Jesus story, and my people, my land, my life, and the big book of creation all around us. Now, what I'm referring to here, I showed you this once before. It's a... Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Image. Here we go. This is a painting by John Duncan. I think it was 1917 it was painted. And in the very far bottom right is Iona Abbey, where I used to live. And this is the story of a legend about Saint Bridget being taken away to be Jesus's wet nurse. Now, she lived more than 400 years after Jesus died. What a ridiculous story. But we don't worry about that too much because she's also a goddess. And what's important in this is you've got the seal there, and you've got our sea and our abbey and our lass being taken away to the Jerusalem to be part of the Jesus story. It's part of how we made sense of it and how we claimed it to be our own. She's a threshold between the old way and the new way. There's also another ridiculous story about Bridget, which I love, that I read recently, which was when Jesus was born, Mary gave birth to twins. And the second one that we don't hear about was a wee girl, and that she grew up to be Bridget and traveled to the Celtic lands to bring that light. Now, what a ridiculous story again. Oh, but it's a story about a half God, half man, half goddess, half woman. The story isn't supposed to be taken literally at all. I love Bridget because she is a personality, I'm going to call her personality, that reveals qualities of God. She's very authentic and true to herself, gentle and fearless. She responds to her heart stirring. Remember that story about the sword? She's in deep trouble. She's at the king's house. And still, she gives her father's sword away. She's very generous, and she's able to step over thresholds to see the old and the new and be among them all. And in doing so, she is a presence of healing. Now, 3 years ago is when I first started to preach about Bridget and what she means to me. And it's hard to tell these stories in a way that you will make sense, especially when people don't know the story so well. And 3 years ago, when I was trying to find songs and images, just like I did last night when I found that beautiful poem that we opened with, I go to Google and I do a wide sweep search of art and poetry and songs linked with Imbolc. And I clicked on to one video on YouTube and I heard this music, this woman singing, and I was enthralled. I just played it on repeat and repeat and repeat. It was in Gaelic. The melody went like this. La 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 la. Now my family lost the Gaelic. Gonna show you my grandfather. I don't know, will you be able to see this? My parents just sent me this. This is him. He was a butler and a man in service. His name was Donald. And he was the last one that lost the Gaelic, and he didn't pass it on to my grandfather, Malcolm. There's a lovely story in this book about how when he went to school, the other kids were teaching him Gaelic, and he was learning it, and he was sharing it with his mother, who didn't speak any Gaelic, and eventually he felt bold enough to speak to his father in Gaelic, and he spoke to my great-great-grandfather in Gaelic, who got mad because the kids at school had taught him a whole load of swear words and he didn't realise he was swearing, and that was the end of him learning Gaelic. But he picked it up. But he was the last one in my lineage that spoke the Gaelic. But my soul was listening. It understood something in this language, something in this song. And I hunted and hunted, and I worked out eventually it was the voice of Sinead O'Connor. So I started listening through to all Sinead O'Connor's songs in Gaelic, and after about 2 days I found it. It's called Woman of Ireland. And Mná na Éireann. And Wikipedia told me that what I was listening to was the words of a poet called Peter O'Doran, who lived in about 1760. And the melody was composed in the 1960s by Sean O'Rada. And it was a rebel song. It was about colonization. And in the words that I was listening to and understood but didn't understand, it describes Ireland as a generous, beautiful woman suffering the deprecations of her English master and how the Irish need to come and defend her. And I started listening. I was like, oh, this has got something to do with colonization. This has got something to do with Bridget here. And I'm in America, and Trump is the president. This is 3 years ago. And colonization is beginning to show its really ugly side again in white nationalists walking down public streets, waving flags and broadcasting hatred. I started paying a lot of attention. And I couldn't stop this melody, so I wrote it into a new song. And I'm going to share that with you now. It's called Beloved Bridget. And as always, can you give me a thumbs up when you can hear it? Beloved maiden, sweet Bridget, you are the spring and new life
for this world. Men may defile you, woman may banish you, but you cannot be removed from the soil. Bear it all, and your tears soaked the earth for what you saw. And on that hallowed ground, there grew a fruit tree, with Eden's fruit brought to light through your tears.
This is where it gets really difficult for me because I've sermon is only supposed to be about 25 minutes long. So that song for me, which is taking that melody, that rebel melody, singing with a lens looking at colonization in America and the beautiful spirit in the land, as well as the tears from genocide and slavery. And that we are part of that. You know, Adam and Eve means living clay. And I believe that where we are birthed is a huge aspect in who we are, not just what our DNA is. God is in our DNA, but that DNA is also part of the land. We are children of Mother. But the biggest influence in that song was from my friend Christine's book. Christine, who's the abbess of Abbey of the Arts. I talk about her a lot. And in her book called The Soul Slow Ripening, on her chapter on thresholds, she has a poem about St. Bridget. And she introduces it this way. As a closing blessing, I offer this poem I wrote about St. Bridget based on a legend that her tears over the suffering of the world fell to the ground and there grew a fruit tree. Bridget is the patron of thresholds, and in this story I hear the threshold between sorrow and new life, between honouring grief and opening new possibilities. And this is the start of her poem. There was a moment you could bear it no more. Your eyes brimmed with great glistening drops, summoned by the hunger of the world and the callous and terrible things men and women do to one another. Your tears splashed onto cold, stony earth, ringing out like bells calling monks to prayer. Now, if you're doing the work with Valerie Carr like I am, you will know that this is the work that she's teaching us about transforming America to being a less racist and more inclusive place where we all belong. And Bridget is so much about belonging. And if you are joining me in doing this work of trying to make sense of Black Lives Matter and racism and Christianity or whatever your faith tradition is, in your role in it and understanding of what it means to be American or to live here if you're an immigrant like me, please know that there's a whole wealth of God living in the air that we breathe, in the food that we eat, in the soil, in the stories of our ancestors and saints. They walk with us every single way. And we are standing upon a threshold, I believe, right now, a shift. We're clearly a shift between Trump's administration and Biden's. But I think it is much, much bigger than that. And who better than a midwife, face of God, that is able to walk between being free and a slave, that is both goddess and saint, Christian and pagan. And I call upon Bridget to help me transform and heal and renew this enormous task of being alive today in this complex world, on this complex land. So in summary, Imbolc and Bridget are about thresholds and finding a way of being authentic and loving in a shifting world. Her world, St. Bridget's world, was shifting from the Druid to the Christian, incorporating, transforming. And it's about being true to yourself and adding your compassion and gifts to the purposes of God in the wider world. Joining your light with the Christ light. She's a great personality to pray with. And most, if you look at her traditional prayers, if you just do a Google search, that you'll find that they're mostly about your life, about the food, blessing the meal, the hearth, the thresholds. I'm going to give you an example of this is St. Bridget blessing. May Bridget bless this house wherein you dwell. Bless every fireside, every wall, every door. Bless every heart that beats beneath its roof. Bless every hand that toils to bring it joy. Bless every foot that walks through its portals. May Bridget bless this house that shelters you. It's about bringing the blessing of God into the details of our lives. And I urge us to do that in our social justice work today. A face of God, very alive in all the creative things that we can do. The last next door, who also happens to be an incredible goddess. Amen.